So on the way over here this evening, Carol asked what I was going to preach about. And I said I was going to preach on seven different things. And she said, that's what you preached about this morning. And I said, well, I'll just change the title then. I am going to preach on seven. This morning, I talked about seven things, seven pillars of the church that we need. This evening, we're going to talk about seven things we must keep. And just keeping in line with that number seven, I thought I would just keep the hour this evening to an hour and 7 minutes. So Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says keep. That's what we want to look at in this lesson. Keeping seven different things. You know, we have to make a decision in life regarding the things that we want to keep and the things we want to get rid of. Every so often we go through our closet, we go through the garage, we go through the drawers, and we just have too much stuff. We have to keep some things, we have to get rid of other things. This applies physically and spiritually. So in this lesson, we want to look at seven things that we must keep if we want to go to heaven. Now, as we study the Bible, we're told over and over that there are things that we should keep. The word keep means to hold, to retain, to guard, to maintain, to obey, to observe, to practice, to adhere to retain possession of. So let's study some things God said that we are to keep if we are to keep saved. And also, along with this definition, that is why I chose this illustration of the guards. And this was from one of the verses where Paul was being transported and the soldiers were with him, guarding him as he was moved from one place to another. That they were keeping him. They were guarding him. So the first thing I want us to consider is that we are to keep our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everything that happens in life is going to first start within our heart, within our thoughts. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. It all starts with our heart. And it's impossible to think wrong things and live right lives. If we do not think as we should, we will not live as we should. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writing to the Philippians says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. Friends, this will help us to keep our heart. We've got to take and make an active effort to keep our heart. When we think about what's going on in the world, it's just the opposite of Philippians 4:8. It's things that are not noble, that are not just, that are not pure, that are not lovely. But we must keep our heart. When we think about our heart, we can have spiritual heart disease. You know, some of us see a heart doctor every so often, and that doctor wants us to do the right things to keep our heart in good condition. We must do that also spiritually. Psalm 51:10, David writes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So we need to figuratively have a heart transplant. The heart that longed after the things of the world, we need to replace that heart with a heart that longs for our Heavenly Father. So we need to keep our heart. We need to keep our bodies. We must keep our bodies under control. And that's not always easy. We'll think different things that we should not. We'll say things that we should not. Our legs will take us places we should not. We get in trouble sometimes because we do not keep our bodies under control. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." He said he buffeted his body every day. It's a daily exercise to keep our bodies. This is the opposite of once saved, always saved. When we are saved, we can still become a castaway. We can drift away. There's the lust of the flesh that can ruin our lives. We must make a daily effort to keep our bodies. Hebrews 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." And you might stop and wonder, what's the worst thing for somebody to just get up and run away from the Lord, or somebody to drift away from the Lord? They're both wrong, but that drifting is so subtle. It's just a little bit at a time, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And before you know it, you've drifted away. You've lost sight of Christ, and we're lost. It's easy to drift. And it's easy to drift if we don't keep our bodies under control. It's easy to drift our way into hell. We don't have to go out and do something outrageous and over the top that people would consider. We can just slowly drift away, and the direction that we are going to drift is to destruction and not to eternal life. Why should we keep our bodies? Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" See, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit reside in our bodies. Our bodies were purchased. They were bought with a price. We were redeemed. They were bought with the precious blood of the Son of God. So we don't own this body. We don't own this body, so we must keep it because it belongs to our Master. As we talked about this morning, one of the other things about our body, no angel ever taught the gospel to any man or woman in the Scripture. That's not their job. God has seen fit to give men and women the task of teaching other people. So this gospel that we're talking about, this treasure, the gospel is the treasure that we carry, and the earthen vessel is our body that holds the gospel. We're God's messengers. May God help us to be better messengers. So we have this treasure in our body. We must keep our body. I heard someone give this illustration many years ago, and it always stuck with me. And he said, "Bruce, just think if somebody came to you and they had this red, delicious apple in their hand. It was all polished. It was just shining. It looked so nice and sweet and juicy. And they were holding it in their hand. And you looked at their hand, and it was full of scabs and sores and pus that was oozing out of their hand. Would you want to take that apple and take a bite of it?" We'd all say, "No, that's revolting. That's revolting." But that's the image. When we carry the gospel in this earthen vessel, and then we mar our body. We mar our body by the things of the world. We must keep our bodies. We must keep pure. Impurity denotes weakness. 1 Timothy 5:22. "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily or share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Laying hands on someone, you have to look at the context in different places to see what this means. This would be referring to laying hands on someone to show approval of them, to show approval of them or what they are doing. Don't be too hasty to show approval of somebody, because if you do and they are living a sinful life, you're going to share in other people's sins. And you want to keep yourself pure. You might be pure, but if you show approval of what this person is doing and this person is living in sin, then we become impure. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the second letter, he says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Many times the flesh, when it is talked about, is modified by this word filthiness, the filthiness of the flesh. That's in contrast to the purity of our spirit, being holy, pure, clean. We must keep our hearts pure, our words pure, our lives pure. We must keep pure. A Christian is a pure person in an impure world. Psalm 24, verse 3. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." If we want to ascend into the hill of the Lord, if we want to make it to heaven, we must keep clean hands and a pure heart. Are our hands clean? Are our hearts pure? Each of us has to ask ourselves that, and if not, then we have some work to clean them up. Well, the fourth thing, we need to keep ourselves unspotted, and this goes along with being pure. Matthew 5:8 says, Jesus speaking says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Again, it goes back to the heart, and our hearts must be pure. God is pure in all of his attributes, and being children of God, we should be pure also. Psalm 12:6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Here we have this number seven again, showing completeness. You think about if you go to buy jewelry sometimes, and you want to buy something that's gold or silver, one of the questions you want to ask, is this pure gold? It might be gold-plated. It might look like gold, be a little bit of gold on the outside and something else. That is not as precious as something that is pure gold or pure silver. We talk about precious metals, these pure metals. How much more should we have pure words and a pure heart? Psalm 19:8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And James writes in chapter 3 and verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So again, we have this idea that we must be pure. We must be unspotted. Sometimes it's hard to recognize. Sometimes we can fool somebody. Sometimes it's pretty easy to recognize. You see this young man here? He's not unspotted, he's spotted. He's got, he was cleaned up, but then he was playing in the mud. He's not pure anymore. He's not unspotted. That's easy to tell. We can look at each other and we can't tell for sure if someone is pure or unspotted. But we need to focus on ourselves and make sure that we are pure and unspotted. We are in the world, but we cannot let the world rub off on us. Can a woman go into a coal mine wearing a white dress and come out with that white dress, pure white? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Can a man go into a bar with half naked or naked women dancing and come out unspotted? It's not going to happen. These two are obvious. What about the less obvious things that we come into every day? James writing says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Sometimes we talk about five acts of worship that we must do and five steps of salvation, and those are things that we do, but there's so much more than that. And just this one command to keep oneself unspotted from the world, that's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day job until we die, because we live in a world like that little boy playing in the mud. We live in a world that's full of mud, and we've got to keep ourselves unspotted. The further we travel toward heaven and the more we become like Christ, the less attraction the worldly things will have on us. And if you're in the world and you're baptized and you're working on giving up things, the more those things of the world that you give up, and the more you draw near to God, you draw closer to Christ, those things are going to have less of an attraction to you. How much do worldly things attract you? So we've got to ask ourselves, if the things of the world attract us, have we really left the world? How close are we to God? Christians are in the world, but they are not of the world. John chapter 17, Jesus speaking, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So the answer isn't to pray, Lord, just take me now, because we are here to be salt and light and to be an influence in the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So while we're here, we've got work to do. And we need to pray that God would keep us from the evil one and that he would help us stay unspotted. What does the world or worldliness mean? Worldliness, again, it goes back to the heart, is an attitude of the heart, because a man is actually what he thinks. What we are is the result of what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and what we do. And if we are led by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, we are worldly. If we are led by the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit, our conduct will be moral. Again, this isn't some miraculous leading, some miraculous direction. It's through the Word. People talk about being filled with the Spirit today. You need to look in your Bible, and whenever it talked about someone being filled with the Spirit, it was something that they could see and hear. In Acts 2, in Acts 10, when someone was filled with the Spirit and they did things, there were signs. It was something that's visible. No mistaking that they had with the Spirit. It's not so when we're led by the Spirit, it's led by His Word. We are led by His Word. So we keep ourselves unspotted. Many a man's life consists of the abundance of the things he possesses. They think true happiness comes by having things, better cars, better clothes, better houses, more money, bigger, 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 better, better, better. It ain't so. Jesus said that life does not consist in the abundance of things we possess. Luke chapter 12. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So we're to keep our heart, keep our bodies, we're to keep pure, we're to keep unspotted, we are to keep the Word. We must keep the Word of God in our hearts, and we should think of it continually, day and night. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he meditates day and night. Again, that's a Hebrewism, this repetitive action, day and night, over and over and over and over. I did it yesterday, I'm going to do it today, I'm going to do it tomorrow, I'm going to meditate on it day and night. Luke 11:28, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So it's important to hear the word of God. It's more important to keep the word of God. We've got to keep the word. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. John 8:51, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death, keeping his word. John 14:15, he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We're to keep the word. We're to guard it. We're to keep it close to us. Never let it go. Don't toss it out. We need to be on our guard and stand firm in the faith. We need to be courageous. We need to be strong. Now, friends, today, and it's nothing new, but a lot of people don't care about keeping the word. They want to go off to some man's word and keep his word. They want to follow something else instead of keeping the word. And when we keep the word, there's a battle to do that. Because if we have the truth, what is Satan going to do? He's going to try to take it away from us. He's going to try to discredit us. He's going to try to make fun of us. What do we do? Do we tuck our tail between us and run? No. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. We are to keep the word. Paul said, if we are saved by the gospel, if we keep in memory the gospel, if we hold fast the gospel, keeping the word. The psalmist said, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Psalm 119. Timothy was to keep that which is committed to thy trust. That was the word, keep it. And you can see from these passages that the meaning of keep the word of God is to be obedient to what he says. The only way we can enjoy salvation by God's grace and heaven after this life is if we put his word into practice in our lives. We keep his word by living his word. We don't take his word, we don't take our Bibles and go out and dig a hole and bury it in the backyard to keep God's word. We live it. We live it. Well, we keep the unity of the Spirit. And that's needed in so many churches. We talked about that some this morning as one of the seven pillars. There's too many splits, too many offshoots. People have perverted the gospel. And as a result, too many people that think they are saved from the Lord's church are going to be going to hell. Friends, religious diversity is not good. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, unity demands effort on the part of all Christians. Unity does not just happen by accident. We work, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, endeavor means to give diligence, to put forth effort, to try. And the Word of God is the only basis for unity. That's the starting point, back to the Word. God's people are to walk in the truth. We are to know the truth. We can identify truth. We can understand truth. And truth is always consistent because God cannot lie. We can look at the scriptures. We can put them together and make sense of them. God's not going to mean one thing here and contradict himself over here. God cannot lie. And when we know the truth, when we understand the truth and walk in the truth, you know what? We're going to be of the same mind and the same judgment. The unity of the Spirit. Lastly, number 7, we need to keep his commandments if we want to go to heaven. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is the critical test of our love, is keeping God's commandments. In verse 21 of chapter 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Down to verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Are we keeping his commandments? Do we say that we love the Lord? So many times you hear people stress love, 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 love. We're a very loving congregation. That's good. That's commendable. But are we keeping his commandments? Those congregations that say they're full of love, are they keeping his commandments? And it doesn't say the opposite of this. He doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, you're going to love me. You see, our obedience springs from the love that we have for him, the love that we have for God, the love that we have for Christ, for what they have done for us. When we were lost in sin, and God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, he sent him to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price that we could never pay, so that we could be forgiven, we could be redeemed, we could be reconciled, and we could have that hope of a home in heaven with Christ, with God, and with the Holy Spirit. 7 things we must keep. We must keep our hearts. We must keep our bodies. We must keep ourselves pure. We must keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We must keep his word. We must keep the unity of the Spirit. We must keep his commandments. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.